Welcome to Mumfessions, the podcast that will normalise all of the challenges of motherhood. I'm Laura Guckian, life coach, founder of Mind Mommy Coaching, and most importantly, mum of three. This podcast is unlike any other motherhood podcast because you will be my guests. Each week, I will invite you to share your mumfession. A mumfession is any experience or feeling you are having as a mum, but you're too afraid to share. The stuff that makes you feel like you're alone or that you're doing this whole motherhood thing wrong. I want to first of all help you recognize you are not alone and you are not doing it wrong. But most importantly, give you the tools you need to navigate it. This is the emotional village that you need. To make sure you don't miss any other episodes of Mumfessions, please hit the follow or subscribe button on whatever platform you are listening. And if you would like extra tools, please go and visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. Coming up this week.
My confession is that I am absolutely petrified and also really strongly don't want to have another child and have a no village, that it terrifies me.
Where is the rule book that says if you don't have more than one child, your family is not complete? Because what is coming through really strongly from that is a should.
I bottle feed and he is slightly below birth weight. And last night I slept through a night feed. He didn't wake, but obviously it's my responsibility to wake him, and didn't happen.
We've all done it. Let's be honest, I certainly have. But the absolute shame and fear, this is a big one. Today's episode is sponsored by Rescue Remedy, a brand that has been trusted for over 80 years. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during some of the more challenging days of motherhood. A must-have for any busy mum. Okay, welcome back to another episode of Mumfession. So like every episode, I'm going to start today with my own Mumfession, or probably, is it a mumfession? I guess it kind of is. I'm just going to come out and say it. My children are growing up. They are 7, 4, and 2.5. They're getting older, and I am absolutely fine with that. I don't feel any sadness. I don't feel any guilt. I am absolutely delighted that they are growing up, because I found the baby stage really, really tough. And I wanted to share this because I feel as mums, everywhere we look, we are told, enjoy every moment, that it's almost this sense of, while they're young, we need to cherish it all because they grow so fast. I'm actually the opposite. I am willing them to grow up, not to be gone, but to be at a stage where they're more independent, where I don't have to dress them, where they're going to sleep through the night, where they don't need all of me in the way they need me now, because I find it so hard. And it's something I sort of thought about, particularly this weekend. As we're recording this now, Easter weekend has just passed, and there was a lot of photos online of kids with Easter eggs and small kids. And, you know, there was sort of this theme of cherish it while they're small. And I was looking at these photos while sitting in my reality and thinking, oh my goodness, I'm finding this weekend really tough. I was solo parenting. My kids were just really taking it out of me that weekend. And my reality wasn't the magical Easter egg hunt. It was actually, oh my goodness, I'm counting down the hours till my husband is back. I'm counting down the hours till school is back. I'm finding this really hard. So I am saying that as my mumfession, and I have no guilt about it. I have no shame about it, because here's the thing. Like I've always said, motherhood is made up of different chapters. Obviously, there's the newborn chapter, the toddler chapter, you know, small child chapter, teenage years. And I think we will all experience each chapter in a different way. For me personally, I found, which is no secret, the baby stage, the newborn stage, all of that extremely hard. There was no moment that I said in that going, oh my goodness, cherish every moment of this. I was severely sleep deprived. I was recovering physically from carrying a baby and delivering a baby, and I didn't enjoy it. And I'm just saying it, I didn't like it. So I suppose I'm sharing this nugget because if, like me, you are sort of in the trenches of it now with small kids, as I say, I'm not fully out. My youngest is 2.5. And you're looking at everyone who is enjoying it, and all you're hearing is this narrative of, they're only young once, enjoy it. and you're feeling like there's something wrong with you because maybe you are in survival mode, maybe you are extremely sleep deprived, maybe you're struggling with your mental health, maybe you are navigating a separation from your partner, maybe you are going through something really challenging in your career or your life and you're not enjoying every moment, I'm here to tell you that's okay. It is chapters, and I keep talking about this. The next chapter might be your chapter. And I actually feel like, for me personally, I think I'm going to thrive as a mother during the teenage years. And I actually said this to my friend recently. We've kids similar ages. She thought the newborn stage was easier. We'd very different kids. And she keeps saying, oh no, Laura, like the teenage years are going to be hard. And I know they're going to be hard, but in a different way. And I'm quite looking forward to it because I feel like the type of person I am, I will be a really, I'm not going to say great mom because we're not allowed to say that, but I just feel like I will come into my own as a mom during those teenage years, even their early 20s, because my only goal for my children is to help them to grow up to be happy, healthy and resilient humans. The reality is life is going to come at them. Life is not perfect. And I want to give them the tools they need to navigate life. The tools I never had, so that when they are in their early 20s or when they're in their teens and their heart is broken for the first time, that I can help them through that. And I'm looking forward to that. So I want the baby stage to be gone. I am letting it go. I'm excited to let it go. And yeah, it just feels lovely to say, I don't miss the baby stage. Bring on the later years. Let them grow up. Because I'm going to be their mum forever. For as long as I live, whether they're 30 or 40, I will be their mother. And I think for me, the true test of measuring if I did a good job as their mum is if they want to spend time with me when they're adults. That for me will be when I can sit back and go, you didn't do too bad, Laura. You didn't do too bad. So there you go. I hope that helps you. And however you're feeling in whatever chapter of motherhood you're in, it's okay. There's no right or wrong way to feel. And just know it is a chapter and the next one is coming very soon. Girls, I am so excited to finally share some big news with you. I have been working really, really hard behind the scenes to create something amazing for you. If you are feeling exhausted, overwhelmed, like you have no idea who you are anymore, if you are utterly fed up with trying to constantly juggle it all, if you want to stop feeling guilty for every move you make in motherhood, if you want to feel happier, calmer, and more in control, but are so stuck you don't know where to begin, then I have the best news for you. Introducing The Village by Mind Mommy Coaching, an online resource that will make you feel seen, heard and supported 365 days a year. Imagine this, you've got the Mind Mommy Coaching Academy at your fingertips, which gives you the proven tools and strategies to be a happier mum, available to learn in your own time, at your own pace. And guess what? You can engage with a community of like-minded mums 24/7. As a Village member, you will also have access to a range of monthly exclusive online events and classes hosted by me and other experts, all designed to help you navigate the challenges of motherhood. And you also get monthly meetups with all the amazing mums you're going to meet in the Village. So in the absence of the Village, let this be your Village. I can't wait to welcome you and get you unstuck. To join the Village, please click the link in the podcast description or visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching.
Hi, Laura. My mum fashion is that my partner and my daughter would absolutely love for us to grow our family and bring a new addition. My confession is that I am absolutely petrified and also really strongly don't want to have another child. Main reason being I am petrified from my experience the first time around, the lack of support that I felt I had, and having no village, that it terrifies me to think that I could go through that again. And a big thing for me is I'm terrified of giving another child the experience that my daughter never got with me. I would never want her to feel like, you know, she never got to experience, I suppose, a different version of her mum. So yeah, I just feel a huge sense of guilt for numerous reasons, for not giving my family, obviously, what they would like in a new child and a sibling. So that's my momfession.
Okay, so this is another important momfession that I want to talk about. And there's so much in what she said there. that I want to pull it apart. First of all, who said that we have to have more than one child? Where is the rule book that says if you don't have more than one child, your family is not complete? Because what is coming through really strongly from that is a should. I feel like I should have more children, but I don't want to. So that's the first thing. Who said we can't just have one child? Why is that not a family? The second thing is that I'm hearing from her is this immense almost pressure and guilt of, well, I think my partner wants a second child. I think my daughter wants a second child. How do we know this? How do we know? Because at the end of the day, I'm sure that your partner and your child want you to be happy and healthy. And if you are happy and healthy, then your family will be the best possible family it can be. And your child will have happy memories growing up. They don't need a sibling to have that. And the third piece I'm hearing is that sort of piece around, I don't want to do it again. Again, it's the fear. I don't want to go back there. And it's probably in line with what I spoke about on my Momfession here at the start of this podcast, where I was saying I found those early days and years of motherhood really tough, the sleep deprivation, you know, the physically healing, the not having a second to myself, you know, the pregnancy, how it can feel. So it's okay to go, I did that once. I don't want to do that again. It was really hard. I want to move forward with the family I have, and I want to close that chapter. So I just really wanted to kind of showcase this Momfession, because I hear it a lot, particularly with my clients that come to me, where they might be trying to decide if they want to grow their family and they're really not sure. And we really do a lot of work trying to identify the shoulds. How do they know if they genuinely want another baby? What are their reasons for wanting another baby? Is it for someone else or is it for themselves? Is it because they grew up with that belief system around motherhood that we have more than one child? So I just think it's a really important one to normalize that you can be one and done. That's totally fine. You know, you can have 10 kids. That's fine too. And again, it has to do with your unique circumstances, your experience of pregnancy the first time, maybe your labor and delivery. I actually received a similar voice note about this from a mom who was describing, you know, she'd quite a traumatic labor and delivery. And because of that, she doesn't think she can ever go back and do it again, which is fine. Maybe she will, maybe she won't. But again, there is no right or wrong thing to do. And I feel like I'm repeating myself today because we are all navigating our own past experiences. So if this is something you can relate to, let's go through the actions. Let's sit down and see what are the things you can maybe do to identify if you want a second child, if you want a third child, or maybe you're listening to this and you're not a mum and you're thinking, do I actually want to become a mum? So let's just work through a few tiny steps that can help you get a bit more clarity on it. So the first step is I want you to imagine 10 years time. Okay. I want you to imagine it is a random Saturday morning and you are sipping your cup of coffee. The TV is on in the background and you turn around. Do you see one child or do you see two children? What can you hear? Is it noisy? Is it not noisy? Is there another child there or is there not? This is really important. If you can visualize another child there, then maybe that is an indication that you possibly want another one. Or maybe not. Maybe it's a should. So that's the first thing. Visualize 10 years time. The second thing is I want you to list all the reasons why you want another baby. Okay? What will it bring to your life? What will it bring to your child's life? What will it bring to your partner's life? What do you think it will bring? And then I want you to kind of think about what will it bring to you? Is it going to make you happier? Is it going to maybe be tough in the short term, but in the longer term, in the sense that you can see them in 10 years' time, it's going to be good. And then I want you to consider all of the fears. So what's holding you back? What is holding you back from going, yes, I'm going to have this child? Is it the fear of, I don't want to have the same experience again? Because that's real and valid. I had that fear when I was having my second baby. I had a horrendous experience when I had my first child. I mean, we've spoken about this, my mental health. That fear was real and valid. I was terrified that would happen again. So I made the decision to have a second because I really wanted my child to have a sibling. And I made the decision going, it might happen again, but it'll be short term. So is it the fear of a past experience? If it is, then what support can you get now to try and reduce the likelihood of that happening again? Or if it does happen, it will feel a little bit easier. Is it a fear of lack of support? So maybe you don't have the village. If that's the case, is there any changes you can make to introduce that village? Maybe it's about introducing the village in the sense of lowering all the expectations you place on yourself. So think about your fears. Is it a past experience? Is it the village? Is it financial? Is it the fact that maybe the relationship with your partner, you don't feel is strong enough to have another child? Because that's real and valid. I hear that a lot, that the relationship changes so much with your partner that putting the addition of another family member, it will break. And that's okay. So think about your fears and then really step back and look at it all and go, okay, is this something I want? And I'm sure I want it. It's not a should. Or is it something I don't want? And always remember, there's time. For most of us, there's time. You don't have to decide today. You can come back to this in a month's time if you want, in 6 months' time. So I really hope that's helped in a little way to normalize one and done. That's totally fine. And to recognize you're not a bad mother for questioning if you want an additional child. Oh, and another key part I forgot to mention there as part of that momfession is I heard in it that sense of, what if I give this baby a different experience to my other child? And that one's really important, because I feel it too. All of my babies had very different experiences. Why? Because I was different. My first baby, when he was born, I literally was like, how do I hold him? Like, I'm terrified. I don't know what I'm doing. When he was born, I was born as a mother and I hadn't a clue. And it was harder. And he got a very different mother and experience to my baby girl, Anna, who was born 5 years later. Two completely different experiences. Was one better or worse than the other? Not really, just different. So don't let that get in the way, because the reality is it will be different. Why? Because you have fundamentally changed. You are different. You are more experienced. It's not necessarily a bad thing to give our children different versions of us, because that's the reality. So I really, really, really hope that helped in some way. And take that pressure off in making the decision. There's no right or wrong thing to do. And the final thing to consider, if you're still very much on the fence and you're feeling pressure to have another baby, imagine you have this baby and imagine you're not happy. Imagine this does bring the stress to your life. Are you going to be okay with that? Because I'm hearing a lot in that, the love you have for your child, and I want you to consider that long and hard. Will this have a negative impact on you? And be really honest. Because if you think it will, then that's okay. It's okay to say no to this. Because your child and your partner love you and they want you to be happy. And it's absolutely okay. In fact, it's essential to put yourself first in this scenario. If you think this is going to make you unhappy, the answer is no. For now, that might change. But for now, it's okay if it's a no. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. As a busy mum of three, on the days I need a little extra support, I always reach for Rescue Remedy. Trusted for over 80 years, the formula is the same today as when it was developed more than 80 years ago, with the unique combination of 5 batch original flower essences. Rescue Remedy provides comfort and reassurance to calm and support your emotional balance during the days when your reserves might be running low. And if, like me, you sometimes find it hard to get a full night of sleep, I like to reach for the Rescue Night Range, which contains white chestnut to help switch off from a racing mind and allow for more restful sleep. And Rescue Night is free from sedatives with no side effects or grogginess the next morning. Rescue Remedy is available from health stores and pharmacies nationwide, and also in Super Value and Tesco. As we're now halfway through this week's episode, if you think you would like to share your momfession with me and get a little bit of support with it, please feel free to email it to mindmommycoaching@gmail.com or come and say hi on my Instagram page @mindmommycoaching.
Hi Laura. Firstly, thank you for your page and your podcast. I'm a follower and a listener and just basically would like to let you know how much I appreciate your page and speaking honestly. I'm a mum to a 2-year-old and a 12-day-old. I bottle feed my 12-year-old and he is slightly below birth weight. And last night I slept through a night feed. He didn't wake, but obviously, it's my responsibility to wake him every 3 to 3.5 hours for a feed. And yeah, it didn't happen. I have an appointment with the public health nurse now shortly, and I just can't bring myself to tell her because she'll obviously know I'm a terrible mother who sleeps through a feed. Of course, I've Googled everything. It just comes up with sleep regression pages. So any advice, please? Thank you.
Okay, this is a really good one to cover. Right. Oh my goodness, I had so many emotions listening to this. I just want to hug this mother, the guilt and shame she's carrying for something that we've all done. We've all done it. Let's be honest, I certainly have. But the absolute shame and fear of I can't tell the public health nurse, she'll know I'm a terrible mother. Oh my goodness, we have to pull this apart. This is a big one. First of all, I'm saying it, you're not a terrible mother. I've done it. I did it with my children. I can remember when Leo was born, and Leo was my first. And at the time, I think they were telling me to wake him every 2.5 hours. I could be wrong. And I remember being in hospital. It was night 2, and we had a horrendous experience in hospital, which I've kind of spoken about before. Trying to breastfeed wasn't working out. We were trying to switch to bottle. There was lots of shame and judgment because, oh my God, I'm not breastfeeding. I'm giving him formula. And I remember Leo hadn't slept. I hadn't slept. He'd severe silent reflux. Everyone was crying and he had finally got to sleep. And I remember thinking, oh my goodness, it's been 2.5 hours since he's feed. I need to wake him. And as I was about to do that, the nurse came in and I was crying and she was like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I need to wake him, but I've just got him to sleep. And oh my God, I'm exhausted. And I remember her saying to me, the best thing for you and Leo now is a little bit of sleep. Don't wake him. He needs sleep. I will come in and check in you in another hour or an hour and a half. And I think it was the first time as a mother I was like, okay, what's the story with these rules? I don't understand. You're telling me I have to wake him, but then you're telling me I don't. And we slept and then she did come in and he didn't feed anyway because he'd severe silent reflux. But my point is, I've done it. We've all done it. You're not a terrible mother. And I really hope you said this to the public health nurse, because I guarantee if you did, I really hope that you were met with compassion and that she reassured you you weren't a terrible mother. So, and again, if anyone's listening to this that is a feeding expert or a pediatrician, someone that is far more qualified than me, I'm not saying go to bed with your newborn and let them sleep for 12 hours straight and don't wake them. Absolutely. I'm just putting it in as a disclaimer. We do have to feed our newborn babies regularly. However, on the rare occasion that you don't because you were unable to, that's okay. And here's the reason why you didn't. You are absolutely exhausted. The village is gone. You didn't do this on purpose. You slept through because you are exhausted. You are exhausted because the support you need does not exist. You are exhausted because you said there, it's a 12-day-old baby, I think you said, or 12-week-old baby. I can't remember. You are in the depths of postpartum recovery. You are physically healing, emotionally. You're right in the middle of postnatal depletion, the physical recovery from carrying this baby, delivering this baby. Your hormones are everywhere. You are physically exhausted. You are mentally exhausted. Stop beating yourself up. Right. And the other thing is these rules, I get why they're there, because I suppose in a way they're comforting because we are born into motherhood. And I say born into motherhood. When our first baby is born, we too are born as mums. We have no idea what we're doing. And these rules can be comforting sometimes to go, okay, how many times do I have to feed them? Okay, what do I do when I'm changing them? All of those things. However, I still do believe there is a gap between what is best practice and the reality of implementing it when you are a mother who has no support, or just who is a mother that, if you're a mother that even has a bit of support, but it's still really hard. So I think we need to be a little bit kinder with ourselves. Take the expert advice, absolutely. and not beat ourselves up if we don't meet it to the exact course of action. Because I've another example here. When I was in hospital with Leo, when I had him, and the hospital I had him in Dublin, which I haven't named because I had a horrendous experience there. But, and when I say this, people might guess the hospital because maybe you had a similar experience. And I don't know, was it just this hospital? Maybe this is a thing. But they were like, whenever you have to change his nappy, you must wheel him out of the room and bring him down to the nursery. Under no circumstances can you change his nappy in the room. And I was like, okay, because I was a new mother. If they had told me stand on the roof with him, I would have been like, okay. And when I think back now, it was the most bizarre thing. It would be the middle of the night. I was barely fit to walk. I was so sleep deprived. I would be pulling him out of our cozy little dark room, wheeling him out into this bright, loud corridor, down to the nursery, changing him and bringing him back. And Leo was screaming. And I remember by the third day in hospital, I sneaked in a little nappy change on the bed. And I was terrified that they'd come in because I was like, you're doing it wrong. And then I had my second and third baby in Cork. And I was like, so where do I change the baby? And they were looking at me like, we don't understand the question. They were like, you just change the baby in the room. Like, and it was in that moment I realized how I had carried that with me, that even in those early stages, I thought I was doing it wrong because I sneaked in a little nappy change in the room. And then I had my other babies in Cork and they're like, well, yeah, I mean, you're welcome to come to the nursery if you want, but you can just change your baby's nappy here in your room if you're comfortable doing so. So look, I suppose I'm sharing that because the main theme from this mumfession is I didn't do it right. Therefore, I'm a bad mother. I didn't follow the expert advice to a T. Therefore, I'm a bad mother. There's all this shame. There's guilt. It's awful. She literally said there, I can't tell the public health nurse because she'll realize I'm an awful mother. It's my responsibility to wake them. Yeah, it is your responsibility. But also, you have to be fair and realistic and reasonable. And if you're extremely exhausted, you might just sleep through an odd feed. It's okay. Your baby will be fine. Okay? Your baby will be fine. I think the main action with this mumfession is ask yourself why you're feeling this shame. Ask yourself why you are being so mean to yourself, telling yourself that you're the worst mother, a terrible mother, because you missed a night feed. Why? Would you say this to a friend? If your friend told you this story, would you meet her with compassion and go, it's okay, you were probably exhausted. You didn't intend to leave them sleep through, okay? The second thing is, how is your baby now? Bet your baby's fine. Bet your baby has had several bottles since. I bet they are thriving. They are fine. Like, missing one feed is not going to impact them. Okay? So just have a little chat with yourself. I have little chats with myself all the time. I actually chat to myself out loud sometimes because I think we can be so cruel to ourselves and so mean. And honestly, all I'm hearing from this mumfession is a new mum in the depths of postpartum, absolutely depleted and exhausted. You missed a night feed. And because of what we are told we should do and all of the rubbish expectations that are placed on mothers, you now feel like a crap mother. You are not a crap mother. You are a bloody amazing mother. And the very fact you feel like you're a crap mother for missing a feed means you're an amazing mother. So look, there's just no time. There is no time to make yourself feel bad. Let it go. Tell your public health nurse. And I guarantee, actually, I'm asking, if you're listening to this podcast now, send me a DM. Hop over to my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching, and send me a DM and let me know if you have missed a night feed. Think back to when your baby was really small. Did you rigidly stick to that 3-hour feeding rule or 3.5 hours or whatever it is? Or did you ever miss a feed? Did you ever feel like this? Let me know and I will share it on my Instagram page when this goes live, because I guarantee there's so many of us out there that did, and it's okay. Let it go. You didn't do anything wrong. Before we finish today's episode, I just want to maybe wrap up a few of the things we covered today. What's screaming at me from this episode is the shoulds. That bloody word. The shoulds of motherhood, the rules when there isn't actually a rule book, and the pressure we put on ourselves when we feel we didn't do what we should do, when we didn't meet the rules, particularly around the missing the night feed. I think as a mother, that just hits us to the core, because I think particularly as a mother in the postpartum stage, we are so vulnerable from a psychological perspective, from a hormonal perspective, everything. And I know from the work I've done with mums that most mums in that postnatal stage, like those initial weeks and months, their inner critic is high. It's almost like we're wired to look for evidence that we're doing it wrong. That like everywhere we look, oh yeah, that's proof I'm doing it wrong. That's proof I'm a crap mother. And I think when something happens like that, when we miss a night feed or when I change the nappy in my hospital room, it's almost like, oh, there you go. There's the evidence. You're a crap mother. So what about instead of looking for evidence that we're crap mothers, how about we start looking for the evidence that we're really bloody amazing mothers? I want to challenge you to do this for one day or an hour, even an hour. Okay, we can all do this for an hour. Everywhere you look, look for evidence that proves you're a bloody amazing mother. Find the things that you're not recognizing you're doing. Write them down. And I do this with myself, particularly on the tough days where I feel like I've low energy, my kids are driving me crazy, I know I'm not fully present with them. And then I look for the evidence that I'm doing it right or that I'm a good mother. And it's like, right, they're happy and healthy. They're fine. I fed them something. It might be frozen pizza. That's fine. I love them. I will always do my best for them. And that's okay. So do you know what, girls? Let's stop looking for the evidence that we're crap mothers and start building up the evidence that we're amazing mothers. And I would love for you to let me know. Drop me a DM on Mind Mommy Coaching or send me an email at mindmommycoaching@gmail.com. Let me know what evidence you found today that proves you're an amazing mother. Because the biggest piece of evidence that can be applied to every single mother, regardless of your situation or your stage of motherhood, is I promise you, you are doing your best. And your best will look different to another mother. Your best will look different to my best. Your best will look different every single day. But you are doing your best given your limited time, energy, resources, support. And if you can remind yourself of that every day, then you will very easily build up a bank of evidence that you're an amazing mother. So that's the first thing. The second thing I think that came true today is that piece around what a family looks like. And I know we covered the topic there around what if I'm scared to have another baby, but I think this is applied in a lot of scenarios. A lot of my clients come to me because they are separating from their partner, or, you know, they're going through a really challenging, I suppose, chapter with their partner. So families can look like anything. You might be a single parent with four kids. You might be have a partner, but, you know, maybe your partner is sick. A family can be anything. So I think that's really the essence of what I want to kind of highlight today. There's no right or wrong way to be a family. There's no way a family should look or feel. Your family, whatever that looks like for you, is right for you. Your reality is normality. And that's another word I want ditched from everyone's vocabulary, is normal. What the hell is normal? What does it even mean? Your reality is normality. So just do whatever is right for you. Thank you so much for listening. I really hope you found today's episode helpful. Please hit the subscribe or follow button. But most importantly, please share with your friends. Because if you related to any of the topics on today's episode, I promise you they will relate too. You can also leave me a review and a rating wherever you're listening. I'd really appreciate it. If you would like to avail of some additional resources, please visit my Instagram page, Mind Mommy Coaching. I hope you have a wonderful week. And remember, it's not selfish to mind mommy. It's essential. Thank you to Rescue Remedy for supporting this podcast. Mumfessions is an Insanity Studios production. The podcast production manager was Charlotte Mason. The podcast producer was Saffron Mirza. And the podcast production assistant was Abby Sandler. This podcast was recorded in Take 9 Studios in Cork.